Hi everyone, welcome back to a new episode of On the Verge. On today's episode, I am joined by Rosanna Arwin, who is in the process of building her own brand after working in many different jobs and just living through what we can consider the quarter life crisis. I think she's been one of my favorite conversations that I ever had, and to anyone struggling in their 20s, please listen to this episode. I promise it's just very insightful, and Rosanna is a great person to learn from. The episode is now available on all platforms. Hope you enjoy, and thank you for listening.
This is On the Verge.
Thank you so much for coming on, Rosanna. I'll do a quick introduction. I guess first, hello to everyone that's listening to this. It's weird because I don't know where to look, if to look like we're towards you or towards the camera, but I'll just look towards you. I'm very excited about today's episode because I found Rosanna on TikTok through a video that just literally spoke to my soul. And I think it spoke to a lot of people's souls, and that's why the video had so many views, so many comments of people being like, just relating to it so much. As a means of a quick introduction, Rosanna is born and raised in Ireland, studied business in university, and after school she went on to work in tech, including Facebook, but then decided to quit to pursue several different career paths, trying many jobs along the way. But now she's a long way from that beginning, and is preparing to launch her own business, Samsu, next month, right?
Rosanna, that's launching.
Amazing. So congratulations on that. And thank you so much for coming on.
No, happy to be here. This is only my second ever podcast. So very, very excited. And first one with
that's
you, so.
Way more than most people, honestly. Two podcasts is not, it's not to be undermined.
That's pretty incredible that two people were like, oh, I'd love to hear your story.
It's funny, that video, the only reason I made it was a girl I had started. I had quit my job. I'm sure we'll get into how many jobs I quit, but I had quit my most recent job and I needed some sort of routine and some sort of goal for every day. And so I said to myself, okay, I need to film. I'm going to film a TikTok every day. And there were days where I just didn't know what to film. And so I started talking about mental health and what had happened over the last few years. And a girl reached out to me that I hadn't spoken to in years that I went to university with. And she said, oh, keep going with what you're doing. You know, it's been really helpful to me. I've been feeling really shitty. I think she got dumped by her boyfriend. Her boyfriend had cheated on her or something like that. And she just said that it's helpful to know that other people are struggling. And I was like, yeah, fair, I get that. And I went out into my car and sat in the car. And then for the first time, like told the whole story of what happened and posted it on TikTok. And then, yeah, it's crazy, obviously. Resonated with a lot of people, but yeah, it's like introducing people like you and other people back in Ireland, and yeah, it's crazy what that app can do. It's mad.
Yeah, it is truly insane. But I think to the point of your friend is, I felt the same way when I saw it, you know. But it's not just the video. I think in any video that you watch that you relate to what they're going through, even more so if they're not giving you a solution, but they're just like, look, I'm living through this. And you're living through the same thing. It just makes you feel so much better, because so many times when you're consuming social media, you just consume this like perfect lives of like achieve all your goals and live your dream life and wake up at 5 a.m., go to the gym, have a perfect skincare. And then you hear someone that you're like, hey, I changed up so many times. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. And you're like, oh, thank God. Like, I'm not the only one.
And I think
there's so much power in sharing the story.
Yeah, it makes sense when you think about it. Like, social media for so many years, especially when I was growing up, was just the highlight reel, and I was definitely guilty of it too. And even when I was going through a lot of the stuff, I was also quite guilty of still portraying this perfect life, perfect job, traveling on the weekends, going out for nice dinners, like would not let anyone know how much I was struggling, even my best friends. And it was only when I started sharing stuff on TikTok that I realized, of course, it makes sense. Everyone wants to know that other people are struggling, because up till now it's always felt like we're alone in this, because all you see on social media is a highlight reel. And so it's so reassuring to know how many others, I would actually say the majority of others in their 20s, are all going through this struggle. It's just that no one wants
to. For sure. Hence this podcast. Literally, that's the point of why I made it.
But getting into your particular story, for those who might have not seen your video or do not know your story at all, would you mind giving like a little brief overview of what were you sharing? Not even on just on that video, but like what was your journey like to get to the point where you are now?
Yeah, for sure. So I studied business in university. I even had a bit of a slip up before that. I was kind of one of those kids growing up where I was a jack of all trades and master of nothing. So I was pretty good at a lot of things, which meant that it was quite difficult to figure out where I wanted to study. So I really liked art, but then I also really liked science and kind of was interested in business, and none of it really made sense. And I kind of wanted to do something in art, but I was discouraged from it because there was no good jobs in that industry and I needed to study something that would pay well and all that jazz. So I went to university, studied business. I actually started off studying sociology, economics and political science in Trinity in Dublin. And I remember sitting in one of the first lectures and I didn't even know what political party was in power, let alone what my views were on political issues. And so I realized probably pretty quickly that I was in the wrong course there. I dropped out the gap year. I went back and did, for some unbeknownst reason, essentially the same course in another university, but just without the political science. Graduated from there, loved college, had a really good time, didn't ever cast a thought on what was going to happen after college. And the course I did was quite heavily leaning towards consultancy, accountancy, finance, that sort of thing. And none of those were any interest to me. So while everyone, it almost felt like secretly everyone was going getting jobs behind my back, I was just out partying and drinking Guinness. And so I graduated with no job. And that was fine. And I did like quite well in university. It wasn't that I wasn't capable. I just didn't know that we were supposed to search for jobs at that time. So I graduated without a job, took another gap year, went traveling and met a girl in a pub who was working for Facebook at the time. And she, I think there was a referral fee actually, if they managed to get someone to take a job. But I thought she was doing me a big favor, referred me to Facebook. It was great, got the job. And yeah, worked there for almost 3 years. So it was my first job out of college. Insane learning curve, but also an incredible company to work for. Like the perks that I had in that company will never be matched in my life again. I really lived the high life. But it got to COVID in 2020. I at the time was working with NGOs and charities that I'd always been quite passionate about, something that would leave a good mark on the world. And for a while I'd convinced myself that my job working on charities within Facebook was doing something good for the world. But I think The Social Dilemma came out, actually, that documentary, during COVID, and it became quite difficult to continue to convince myself that I was leaving a positive impact on the world. And so I decided to leave Facebook. I was 25 at this point and quite unsure of what I wanted to do, but I knew I wanted to be a bit more creative. And I'd always kind of had an interest in film. I enjoyed making videos and doing, I suppose, like back in the day, what a reel was before reels existed, and doing all that sort of stuff. So I thought I had an interest in film, and I was so eager to get out of Facebook that I just basically blasted every film company in Ireland and the UK and got a job in London. Without much discussion with my partner, decided that it would be a good idea to move to London and start working in film, which was a terrible idea. There was little research done into what actually working in film would be like. So I lasted 7 months in that job.
What were you doing specifically in the film industry?
So this is how desperate I was to get out of Facebook. I had I had a pretty good job at Facebook. I was meeting C-level execs in NGOs and charities and, you know, talking about their strategy for the upcoming year. It was like a pretty, I think, advanced job for a 25-year-old. Then I was so desperate to get out of Facebook, and I had heard that in film you kind of need to start at the bottom and work your way up from there. So I took a PA job, which is essentially like an exec assistant. The way I describe it to people is like, for those of you who've seen The Devil Wears Prada, I was Anne Hathaway. And I mean, the person that I was working for will never listen to this, but the boss was pretty similar to the boss in The Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, that's awful. A boss will make or break a job, though, to be honest.
Oh, he was awful. But it was really tough mentally because I'd gone from so much autonomy and so much freedom and so much responsibility to, you know, making teas and coffees and organizing someone's calendar. It was a big shift. And maybe that had a part to play, but I still think I could see what the future looked like in film, and it didn't look great. And also it was not impactful work at all. So maybe it was a bit more creative, but it was not leaving any positive impact. And so I got thinking, and I was like, okay, I better make sure that I definitely don't like film. And one of the clients that I had at Facebook was WWF. And so I worked on their release of a David Attenborough film. And I saw a really positive impact that that film had and how it got so many people talking about climate change. And I thought maybe if I worked in documentaries, I could make films about things that matter. And that would be, you know, my positive mark on the world, and I would still get to be creative and so on and so forth. And so I managed to get a job in a documentary company. And yeah, long story short, I spent again about 7 months. Normally takes about 6 months, I think, to make a decision. So I always gave myself 6 months in the job, and then always around month seven. It's funny how many I've quit that I've actually created a process out of this now, but around month seven,
next time we record, we'll do like a quitting guide.
Yeah. Rosanna's guide to quitting in your 20s. So I got to month seven, realized that documentaries were not for me. And so it was back to the drawing board. And again, like, you could probably see how my confidence was starting to slide at this point now. Like, I'm starting to wonder about my gut and my intuition and why I keep making these decisions and they keep going wrong. I then start to think, okay, well, climate change was really interesting to me. So what about if I went and worked for a climate change company? So I got a job at a reforestation company up in Scotland. And I was working with investor management and investor relations. And that was pretty interesting, but the company itself was in trouble. They did a round of redundancies within 6 weeks of me joining. And I was already, you know, on quite a rocky ship. Like, I did not need to be in a company that was this unstable. Mm. And I took the executive decision to stay within climate change, but leave that company. I didn't think they were going anywhere. And I also wanted to go somewhere where I would be growing and learning. And I didn't feel like I was that at that company. So I kind of went full circle to a degree and went back into tech, but for a climate tech company. And at this point, I was like, okay, I figured it out. I actually really liked tech, but I just needed a bit more purpose. And so I was working for a tech company working on climate change and carbon credits. And I genuinely really enjoyed the job. It was a US company, but in one of their like first 10 employees in the UK. And it was great and it was brilliant, but it was so intense. And my personality type is the type of person that will, if someone says jump, I will say, okay, I'll jump twice as high as you ask. And that doesn't bode well when you're working for a high growth VC backed startup. And I was just clocking up these crazy, crazy hours. Started to wonder what for. And I still just had this niggling feeling, even though I felt like I'd done so much research into myself, that I still didn't feel like I had figured it out, like there was something missing. And so ultimately, I'd always had this dream of running a business to do it, cabins and living off grid and tiny homes. But I always thought it was something that I would do later in life. And we can talk a bit more about mental health a little bit later. But yeah, basically, I reached breaking point at this company and probably had what you would call some sort of a breakdown. And family and friends were like, why are you waiting to do this dream? If you already know what it is that you want to do, why are you saying that it would be in 10 years time? Why not now? And so around September 2023, I quit my job, moved back to Ireland, and since then have been working on what will be Samsu. And that's amazing. The 5-minute synopsis.
That's an incredible story.
And I think it's very relatable. It's just a lot of people, first of all, are very scared to take those jumps because it's really scary. I think another thing that we talked about, it's like it can be perceived as failure even within yourself when it starts like hitting your own confidence and you're like, oh, is it me? Like, is there something wrong with me? Why have I changed so much and I still don't feel like I'm in the right path? It took you, well, very interesting what you said. It was like a full circle because you started in tech, went to film, documentary, etc., ended up in like a different kind of tech company and now to doing your own thing. Mentally, where are you at now compared to when you started working?
Yeah. I was actually having this conversation with someone recently. I would say that my early 20s, when I was at Facebook, I was in such a good mental state, but I think it was probably because I wasn't thinking about anything long term. I was just, you know, cashing in the monthly checks, living month to month, just enjoying the moment. Now, after going through it all, I think I'm a lot wiser. I'm a lot poorer than I was when I was working at Facebook, but I think I am much more sure of what I want to do with my time, how I want to spend my days, and the mark that I want to leave on the world. And so, yeah, although it was a very, very, very challenging couple of years, I'm glad that I did it. And I'm glad that I asked those questions of myself and glad that I, yeah, went through the process of trying to figure out what it is. And this could fail too. Like, there's not a guarantee that this will work out, but I think now I'm no longer scared of failing because ultimately it will always bring you closer to your goal. Like when yeah. I was in the middle of it, there were days to your point where I would wake up and be like, what have I done? And you're looking at people on Instagram who look like they're living the high life and that everything is so easy. Now I know that that's not true. But yeah, I would wake up and really wonder what did I do? Why did I go to all of those jobs? But now I can see that, you know, working at Facebook taught me about advertising and client management, the film. Now I can, you know, use that to make stuff for Samsu. The climate change work and startup world taught me how to make sure that Samsu is really low carbon and sustainable in every way. And the startup taught me what it's like to be in a small company and how to bootstrap. And so actually when you step back, like every piece of the puzzle was worth it and has brought something to where I am now. But of course, yeah. In the middle of it, it's very hard to see that.
No, that's absolutely true. First of all, I really agree with that you learned in every step of the way, but also you started figuring out what you wanted. And the only way to know what you don't want is to like live through it. Because if not, there's like, if you haven't tried it, you really don't know that it's not for you. Another thing that I find interesting, first, the idea that you want to contribute positively to the world, I admire that. And I think a lot of people in our generation are thinking the same way. I know, at least for me in my job, is something that I also think about. I'm like, is this good for the world? Like, what am I bringing? I think there's a mindset shift from our generation in that sense. Whereas people before, maybe it was like solely a financial decision to work. It's like, I'll give you my time, you give me money, we're all good. Maybe without thinking so much what you're bringing. And what good you're doing. Obviously, I'm generalizing like through generations, but I do think there's a shift. And the second part is, I constantly think, what is the job like doing for my own purpose as well? And I think a lot of people our age are thinking about that. So it's like, there's a greater good and there's also, how does it fit my own life? Does it bring me joy? Besides just the like economic decision of like, I need to work to live. What do you think was like, what do you think is going on with the work industry in general, with all these corporate jobs that so many people are finding themselves in your position? And that so many people related to your story as well, because they have tried so many jobs and there's always something that's missing. And yes, it can be like, it's the hours are insane or the industry is not too good. But I also think there's like a generalized issue, right? Does that seem like a fair thing to say?
I've done a lot of thinking on this and also chatted to quite a lot of people about it, because it's true. I genuinely believe like a lot more people are asking about purpose now than they did 20 years ago. And I think that it comes from, we have a lot more people our age that are working in high paid jobs than the generation before us. And if you think about, I don't know why I always remember this one theory from business, but Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And you think about where we are in that pyramid, a lot of us are reaching self-actualization, or the stage of self-actualization, a lot younger. You have your physical needs met, you have enough money, you have your friends and family. And so then it starts to, the question becomes, do I have fulfillment, or do I have self-actualization or purpose? And I think just a lot of us are reaching that stage sooner because all of those other needs are being met. What to do with that question is tough. I don't think that everyone needs to go through the intensity of what I did. And I think that there are different types of people, right? For me, my career, for better or for worse, is very, very closely tied to my identity. And I've tried to untangle them, and it's not like I'm okay with it. It's fine. Yes. I'm happy to do that. But there are people out there where it's not so tied. And I think that's also important. And I think there should be a world where what you do for work does not have to be who you are as a person. And I think I could have done a better job of, when I was in Facebook and when I was in other jobs, you know, finding joy and purpose and fulfillment in other areas of your life that aren't your 9 to 5. Yeah. I think it's not so black and white. I think there are, you know, two polar opposites, and then a lot of people live somewhere in the middle. I'm unfortunately like really far over on one side, and
I truly relate to that. I think I'm kind of the same way. I think what you're saying totally makes sense.
Yeah, but sometimes I'm envious of people that, you know, can go to work. It's really not that deep for them. They get paid well. They finish work at 5 or 6, and you know, then they go about the rest of their life. And I think
you're bringing me flashes of like conversations that I've had, because I think when you are a certain way, sometimes it's hard to understand how another person might live through something. So in my last job, that I truly could not do it, because I think it's what you said. I need to bring my personality. I need like the environment to kind of match who I am, if that makes any sense. And I had other people at work who also didn't like the job, but they were like, oh, I get paid amazing. My life is outside of work. Like, I live for the weekend and for when I get off work. And to me, that was like, no, that's like, it's your life. You're spending it here. And it's like, wait, step back. Not everyone lives the same experience that you do. And maybe my need is to have a job where my personality is like closely tangled with what I do for work. But it's also incredibly valid to be like, I just want to get paid. I'll show up to work, I'll do my responsibilities, and then I get off and like my life is outside of work. So I think that's a great point that you bring up. It's also identify what works for you, what you need in your life.
Yeah, I think the point that's important here is that for those whose career is closely linked to their personality, that they know that it's normal to feel lost and to feel overwhelmed, and knowing that there are other people waking up every day questioning what they're doing and why they're doing this job, and that, you know, it's okay to quit, and it's okay to, you know, to quit again and still not know what you want to do. Because yeah, I think it's just important to know that that's also normal, and it's supposed to be scary, and you know, and you will eventually figure it out. I think that's, yeah, quite an important message, because I didn't know that when I first started out, and all I felt was fear and failure for 2 or 3 years. And had I met the community of people that I've now come to know from sharing, I think I would have found the whole thing a lot easier. Yeah. It's like when you go to college and you're studying for exams and you're like, these are really hard, but you know that it's really hard for everyone, and so it's not that big of a deal, because you know that everyone else is going through it too.
Yeah, 100%.
The early years of your career are the exact same. You know, it's not easy, and it's meant to be not easy, because your 20s are supposed to be for figuring it out. But because of what's happened on social media, it looks like everyone else has already figured it out, but in fact, that's not the case.
No, absolutely. And also, what you said about certain people, feeling this way, that it's the there's so many characteristics that you mentioned that I think make the sort of person that would be very lost in their career path. I related to so many of the things you said. It's like, I always felt like I was a jack of all trades as well. So it's the sort of person that doesn't have a very defined path since they're young. Like if you love music and you know you're going to be a musician, then you probably won't have that moment of crisis of like, where do I go? But people that are kind of good at everything, but they don't love anything that passionately. I started university in Argentina, then dropped out, then came to the US. So like, I've been lost ever since I got, I like, honestly, last year of high school, when people were like deciding what to study and stuff, I was like, oh shit. Like that's where it started for me. And like, ever since then I've been lost. I took a gap year. I traveled, like I did it all. I had every single characteristic that you mentioned of the person that kind of struggles to find their path. So there's many of us. And I heard you speaking and I was like, I thought I was the only person in the world. And in a way, it's like a very egocentric way to think about it. But if you don't hear other people's stories, you're like, am I the only one? But truly, you are not the only one. And yeah, a lot of people live through the same experience. You also mentioned that you traveled. Do you think that was helpful? What do you take from that? Would you also do that again? Do you recommend it for people in their 20s? Because I see a lot of value in travel, but some people don't really.
Yeah, for me, I mine was a bit of a weird one. So I had interviewed for Facebook and gotten the job and basically said to them, you know, we kind of had planned this trip. Would you mind if I still went? And they incredibly kindly pushed my start date back by, I think, 10 months. And so when I was traveling, I always knew that I was coming back to this job. So actually was probably, I say for better or for worse, but it's probably for worse because I never really did much reflection or introspection or thinking about bigger picture life, because I was like, cool, like I've got a job when I come back. I'm just going to party for 8 months and just enjoy every place that I go. And I never really did that much thinking. The only thing that I felt was really beneficial was I just met so many different types of people, and I was alone for 5 months of it. And that was great. And, you know, really good for, I guess, like self-confidence and knowing that you can turn up at a hostel and make friends with whoever is there. I think that was really beneficial. I think it would have been better if I was a bit older. Like a lot of my friends now have gone traveling around my age, and I think that's incredible because you understand the value of time and how incredible it is to be able to press pause on life and go and experience new cultures and new places. So yeah, I think it's 100% worth it. I think it was probably a bit wasted on me because I did it when I was 22 or 23.
I'm definitely not wasted though. I do agree that meeting people is a very big factor in the traveling environment, because I don't know if this happened to you as well, but I think the connections that you make while traveling, it's like friendships are sped up like crazy for some reason. Like you go to a hostel and you'll make true friends in like maybe you were there for 2 days and it's like you've known them forever.
Yeah, that's true. And also, like, I suppose I'm probably downplaying, but you meet people who think in different ways to you, and I suppose it broadens your way of thinking as a result of that. So I think that's really important as well. But
sure.
But yeah, anyone that has the opportunity to go traveling should take it. And also anyone that, I never did this, but anyone that works and has the opportunity to work remotely, you know, to be able to go and do that from a different city and experience a new culture, I think it's, yeah, incredibly important.
Yeah, that's a whole new world. Honestly, I don't have a remote job either, but I do see like a massive opportunity for people who do have that. That's an interesting world. I mean, I should bring someone who has a remote job and like their experience with that world, because that is a whole new way to work. It's very interesting.
It's funny, the grass is just always greener on the other side, but like now that I'm doing SAMHSA and I'm kind of tied to Ireland and I'm going to be running the business, so it's not as if I can just, you know, jump away to somewhere else.
Yeah.
I have friends that are still working in tech and they're like, oh, I feel so unfulfilled. And I'm like, yeah, but you have so much freedom in other ways.
You have freedom.
Yeah, you can go and work anywhere you want. You can, you have time to do hobbies and you know, learn new crafts and interests, and you know, so there's always benefits to every career and every area of your life, I think.
You're always giving some, taking some, it's like
Yeah.
you're negotiating with your jobs, basically.
But so you went traveling, you came back, worked for Facebook. At this point, I think anyone that looked at your life was like, this girl has a perfect life. And as years went by, I think you said you were there for like 3 years. What was the difference between people's perception of your life versus your internal view of your own life? Was that very different?
Yeah, I think that was like one of the factors in what made my mental, what's the word, decline so much more intense, because I knew that my life looked pretty good on social media. And that's because it was like, it was a ridiculous life working at Facebook at that age. And so I knew then I put this made up expectation on myself that I thought other people had of me. And so every time I figured out that I didn't like a job and that I needed to quit, I would put this insane pressure on myself to say, oh my God, you're almost like letting down all of these people that are expecting you to, you know, push through or continue this incredible life, which when you say it out loud, literally makes no sense. But that's what my mind was telling me. And so, yeah, I had like made this like fake life that I thought people viewed of me and I felt I needed to live up to, which is so actually narcissistic, because no one actually cares what you're doing. And I think that was a really big breakthrough moment for me. No one actually was watching my life being like, oh my God, did you see that she left her job? No one would have even known what job I was in. But I built up this imaginary story about myself that, you know, everyone would be judging me and talking about me and saying, oh my God, I can't believe she left Facebook, you know, which is so silly. But I think quite common, actually. And I think it stops a lot of people from following their dreams or doing that thing that they've always wanted to do because they're scared of what other people think. And realizing that no one cares was a really big breakthrough for me and for my mental health, actually.
Somehow every conversation I have leads to the same point. It's like we all think people care in any sort of way. Like I've related this to social media, to career path, to love life, to literally any topic that you can imagine. And it always comes down to the same point. Like no one's paying that much attention to you. So please live your life as they aren't, because they really aren't. And that will kind of free you to take your decisions just for yourself. And I think that's the way they should always be made. But like you struggled with that. I felt the same way. I was like, oh my God, I'm at a high paying job. Everyone's proud of me. Like if I leave it, they're going to be like, what are you doing with your life? And in the end, it's my life. Maybe, yes, your parents care, but up to a point, they also want you to live your life, you know, make your own decisions. That's why you're on your own at a certain point. You're an adult. Yeah, so I agree. It's a mental burden that you take off.
Totally. And that was another point I think that was quite important, is that everyone's perception of success is different. And so what one person's view of success might be, which is, you know, working at a tech company and getting paid a lot of money to do it, isn't someone else's version of success. And that, you know, and so as long as you are sticking to what you believe success is, then it doesn't matter what people think, even if they do judge you for it, because it's your life at the end.
Interestingly, I think success and failure also take on different meanings as you go through life, because I think we had mentioned that during the times where you quit, you were like, maybe I'm failing and whatever. But now taking on a new perspective of you're back home starting your own business and you've lived through all of that and you're like, you can see how it was all productive. What does the word failure feel like now? Did that change in your perspective?
Yeah, it's a good point. Like even if my if my 24-year-old self or 23-year-old self would have known that 28-year-old Rosanna would have, you know, moved back to Ireland, moved back in with her parents and have no real paying job, no one paying her to work, I think she would have said, oh, she's failed. But 28-year-old Rosanna being in that position, moving home, quitting my job, working for myself, that's not failure to me. That's a huge milestone in success, because that was the moment that I figured out what I wanted to do and had the courage to quit a job and go and follow that dream.
Yes.
And so, and those two situations are the exact same, but your perception of them is totally different.
For sure.
So yeah, my view of failure has definitely changed. I think it's, failure is necessary. If someone never fails, then they've never actually pushed the boat out at all, right? Like if you've never failed, then you probably are just living quite a safe life. You also learn quite a lot from failure. So yeah, I think it's like, oh, I used to do horse riding, and my teacher would always say, like, a good horse rider or jockey isn't incredible until they've fallen off the horse 100 times, because it takes falling off to know how not to fall off the next time. And I think you can probably apply that to like failure in business and life. Like if you don't fail, yes, then you're not learning.
And I think it's like learn not to fall, and also fall graciously when you do and not hurt yourself. Like there's a point in like
failure where like you failed enough where you get good at failing. I don't know if that makes any sense, but I feel like there's ways to fail without it tearing you down and stopping you. More like, okay, I took that punch, I learned from it, and I'll keep going. And I also think if you talked back to your 24-year-old self, she wouldn't think you failed, because you mentioned that maybe this is even in your like subconscious, but like you mentioned that you've always pictured what you're doing now, but you just thought, oh, I'll go off, make money, and in 20 years I'll do this. And it's like, truly, why wait 20 years if you have something in mind that was always there? I think you use the right word. You like, you have so much courage to go out and start your own thing and just bring that to the present moment instead of thinking, oh, I'll do it in 20 years. Because also, who assures you that in 20 years you'll be able to do it? You don't know that for a fact.
Yeah, I think there was a big shift in mindset of when I was younger, I would always place success or happiness on certain milestones. Like when I have done 5 years at Facebook, or when I have purchased a house, or when I get married, I'll be happy. But now my mindset is much more on that, you know, that you have to be happy throughout the journey and you have to enjoy the journey to get everywhere. And so, yeah, it's no longer about like, yeah, waiting 20 years to do something. Why not do it now and enjoy the journey along the way and yeah, find happiness in the process to get there.
Yeah, for sure. And congratulations on Sam. So I truly think it's a great idea. And again, so much courage in launching your own thing. I think it will do great. And it's an amazing idea. People really do need something like that. What's your advice for anyone starting their own thing?
I mean, I don't know how qualified I am to give this advice, because I haven't fully launched something yet. But I think it's really, really important to care about what you're working on, because it is really different to working in a 9-to-5. Like I was saying this to someone the other day, like I have a to-do list of things to do, but they're all quite overarching goals, like build a brand, build a website, you know, launch. Yeah. It's not exactly like something that I can do today. And so you really have to be passionate about it, because there's no one breathing down your neck to tell you to keep going. And a lot of the days you feel like you're making no progress at all. And so, yeah, it requires like quite a lot of passion and motivation about what you're working on. And the other thing that I would say is, from speaking to other people, is like, I always thought that people that ran businesses were this like different caliber of person, but actually most people are just figuring it out along the way. Like I asked someone that was in business for 3 years about VAT, and they still don't really know that much about it. And yeah, I think it's important to know that like everyone is just figuring it out one day or one week or one quarter at a time. And so if you don't think that you're able to do it, you probably are. It just requires a certain level of commitment and motivation.
probably that applies to any job as well, whether you're like self-employed and starting your own business or you're at a company. The more you work at places, you're like, wait, people are not like experts on everything. They just like, sometimes they're just winging it. They really don't know. One last question, because I know we're tied on time, but I ask this to every single guest that has come on. Because I truly think what we consume on our day-to-day lives impacts how we feel. Is there any content like TV show, book, movie that you would recommend for people in their 20s?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think The Artist's Way was quite transformative for me, which is a book that came out 30 years ago that was originally written to unblock writers who just were stuck creatively. And it's a 12-week course that you do yourself through the book. It has a series of workshops and exercises, but the most important element is that every morning you write 3 pages of unscripted journaling. So literally whatever comes out of your head goes onto paper and you never read it again and it's completely unimportant, but you would just be amazed at what comes out on those pages. And also, if there's something that you've been wanting to do for a while but haven't, it gets pretty frustrating pretty quickly to write about them every single day on the pages. And so you find yourself taking action just for the sheer fact that you don't need to write about that the next day. And it was very, very powerful, and also got me back into a lot of creative activities that I had let fall to the wayside. So yeah, I think that was a really, really powerful book, The Artist's Way.
Love that recommendation. I'll look into it. I've heard about it in the past, but I haven't done it myself or read it myself. So I think that's an awesome, awesome piece of content.
Really, really good. It's big on TikTok, I think, at the moment.
Everything's big on TikTok. Anything good is big on TikTok. Rosanna, thank you so much for your time. I truly do admire you a lot, and I wish you all the best with Samsu. I cannot wait to see you launch it. I'll be paying attention to everything, and hopefully one day I can see it in person. Whenever I plan a trip to Ireland, I will hit you up. You should know that.
I would love that. Well, yeah, thanks so much for the conversation. I really enjoyed it.
No, thank you. I truly think this can help all the people that are in their 20s and struggling, a bit lost in their career paths. Your story is very inspiring to me. I think it'll be inspiring to them.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.